This is Nina Lockwood. Welcome to Find Your Flow, Module 6 of the Inspired Life Formula. In this module, we're going to look at the concept of being in flow, and we're going to look at three different components: what it means to be in flow, why you'd want to, and how to get into it. And guess what? Because you've already been developing skills from earlier modules, you're going to have a deeper understanding of how to apply them or build on them as you course correct your thinking. So what happens is that your whole life will become an expression of flow. We're also going to look at the differences between synchronicity and coincidence, and we'll explore what it means to have your internal state, that's your thoughts and feelings, reflected in your external circumstances. And that's what happens to you. So let's start with a general definition of flow that the dictionary describes as a steady, continuous stream. So think of the current of a river. There's movement, things appear and disappear, they change frequency, consciousness moves in and out of form. And if you use the analogy of life as a river, you see pretty clearly that a source other than and really greater than you has already established that movement, all of its cycles and potential blockages. Being in flow reflects a very specific perspective on life. So if you imagine a scale or one of those old-fashioned applause meters that has the arrow moving from one side to the other, at each end of the scale is a perspective which is 180 degrees different from the other side. So at one end is the point of view that says life is basically meaningless. It's arbitrary. Life is simply a series of indifferent random events in which you're either a passive recipient or you're a victim. And this is the state in which it feels like life is happening to you. There is no support or influence or comfort from a higher source, and you believe that how you think has very little influence on what actually happens to you. Even the notion that you could possibly attract or invite positive experiences into your life through your thoughts or your intentions or visualizations or affirmations, it's out of the question. Things just happen. You do the best you can through willpower and force, just making efforts in the external physical world by getting things done and attempting as best you can to control the outcome. If you can't verify an idea with your five senses, it can't be proven. Therefore, it doesn't exist. And here's where those old sayings about pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps or being the proverbial captain of your own ship comes in. You operate almost exclusively from the thinking mind rather than the feeling heart, and it's a very isolated, lonely place to be. And I want to tie in this kind of thinking as it relates to the materialistic perspective and that sense of separate self that we looked at in Module 2. Now, on the other end of the scale, or meter, is that belief that life is benevolent. It's full of support. Events happen for you. They're not meant to get in your way. At this level of awareness, life has purpose and order, and you're given exactly what you need when you need it. You recognize that you are inseparable from this multidimensional fabric of life. So you feel connected, you feel valuable, and you consciously choose your thoughts and feelings because you recognize they have a definite effect, not only on you, but on other people and on the world. You also know that there are unseen forces that are guiding you and influencing your life. So again, you feel more supported and taken care of. You know you don't have to push the river because you don't need to control what happens. Life already does that, and you know how to find the value in what does happen. So obviously, how we see life every day is not always as clear-cut as that, especially when we have some setback or we feel stuck in our efforts or triggered emotionally, and we revert back to thinking and reacting in ways that pretty clearly reveal our misunderstandings or our confusion. Nevertheless, it's still good to think about this scale and reflect on what kind of thinking has brought us to where we are now, and how can we move the arrow towards a more desirable, effortless way of living. This is where I want to bring in the concepts of synchronicity and coincidence, because those two ideas relate directly to those opposite sides of the scale. So let's bring out the dictionary again and look at the definition of synchronicity, which is the simultaneous occurrence of events that appear significantly related but have no discernible causal connection. Okay, so meaningful, useful events are happening to us, but how they come to be is not clear. We can't figure it out simply by using our rational minds. And coincidence is defined almost identically, where unlikely or unexpected events happen at the same time, but the really important difference between the two that clearly indicates on which end of the scale your thinking resides is that coincidence is considered a chance event. It's luck, good fortune. There's no rhyme or reason attached to how and when it appears. And it has nothing to do with your internal state. But synchronicity, on the other hand, is interpreted as intentional or deliberate, as a natural expression of our connection with a greater whole. And that allows our inner world, those desires and intentions, to be reflected in the events that happen to us. Our thoughts and feelings and our actions don't happen in a separate, discontinuous world. They're intertwined in a unified, connected web of life, of which we are an integral part. And as we learn to see synchronicity as a validation of our actions, we find a growing clarity and freedom, some peace of mind, as we see that we're supported and we're guided, and this is not random. The world isn't against us because we are actually the world. It's a reflection of us and how we think. And at this end of the scale, there's a widely held belief that there is no such thing as coincidence. So once again, it comes back to the choice that we make about how we live. Think back to Module 4 and the idea of looking at life as a story that we have the power to question and reinterpret. If we recognize that how we interpret life expands or limits our happiness and our fulfillment, if we're curious about discovering whether and how we're a part of a larger whole, then we'll be inspired to make efforts to find out who we are, what we are. And very curiously, sometimes we don't intentionally make that decision, but something beyond our logical, rational mind makes that decision for us. It's very curious, and it's pretty exciting. So as we move deeper into the nature of flow, I want to acknowledge that a particular use of the term being in the flow or in the zone came into use in the field of positive psychology in 1990 in the book Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience. Being in the flow or in the zone was used to describe a very specific mental state, one that you've probably experienced yourself at some point in life. For example, let's say you were a professional tennis player. If you had been in the flow or in the zone, you'd have become so completely immersed in playing tennis that you lost all sense of time. Any sense of distraction, you merged with the game, as if the game was being played through you rather than by you. And in this context, the demands of the game were perfectly in sync with your abilities and your skill level. So it felt amazing, effortless, profoundly satisfying. You were not aware of any challenges or demands or even of time passing. And even your sense of a separate you dissolved. Everything happened seamlessly. And because this is so powerful and so gratifying, being in the flow is described as an optimal experience, something you'd want to have because there are deep feelings of happiness and contentment in it. Life is richer, it's more meaningful. You're aware of a deep sense of oneness as you focus on that single activity that is engaging every part of your being, your body, your mind, your heart, your spirit. So what if you could live your life this way? Now, this particular example of being in the zone is related to doing or creating or expressing something that requires particular skills as well as a very clear goal or outcome. So you hear about it happening most frequently in sports or in the arts. Both athletes and artists in particular find themselves completely immersed in what they're doing, and it's as though the activity itself takes over and expresses itself through them. You also hear about this occurring in Zen Buddhist art forms like archery or floral design, and also in Eastern practices of Tai Chi and Qigong, where again you lose that distinction between where you begin and end and where the form and the flow of energy begin and end. So I bring this up because being in the flow, although this type of experience is event specific and it occurs within very set parameters of length of time and skill and degree of challenge, the qualitative result is very similar to what it would be like to live your life in flow. And that would happen not from necessarily perfecting manual or physical skills and focus and determination, but from developing the inner skills, the right mindset, the right focus. And it's possible for your life to be filled with the same kind of joy and aliveness and satisfaction as playing a game of tennis or skiing down a mountain. In the book, The Power of Flow, flow is described as the natural, effortless unfolding of our lives that moves us towards wholeness and harmony. So the phrase being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, perfectly describes what happens to you when that flow becomes the feedback mechanism for your thoughts and feelings. So let's look at a couple of the ideas found in this book, Power of Flow, and combine them with the ideas and the practices that we have been doing in earlier Inspired Life Formula modules so that we can begin to enjoy this seemingly magical state of being. Once you've decided that you want to experience life in flow, your intention is set. You want to see the world in a new way. So think of it as deciding to visit a foreign place, maybe even move there. So you'll need to know what to bring and what to look for. What should you bring? Now remember, these are inner qualities. So start with trust. Now for some of us, this is a process as we learn to trust our own abilities to observe, reflect, to grow and learn. But then add to that your wordless present moment awareness that helps you to fully engage in the here and now, where in this moment, nothing is lacking. You can also bring your skills of felt sense, groundedness, alignment and open-heartedness to help you notice the details of your surroundings and the messages that are being sent to you. Bring an open mind, that sense of allowing that reflects a readiness to be with whatever happens because you know everything that happens has meaning and value. And then bring a sense of adventure that's going to allow you to go out of your comfort zone and to take risks. Risks that involve thinking differently and thinking about new possibilities. Finally, bring at least a willingness to be open to the possibility that everything is unfolding as it should, and that the art of living, how you live your life, is equally, if not important, as the outcome. So as you let the universe in, let divine intervention reveal itself. And your job will be simply to show up, to do what needs to be done, and to know that failure is not possible because everything that happens is already intended for the highest and best good for all. And then what should you be looking for or at? Be willing to look at how you get in your own way. And how the pain from fear or anger or loss can prevent you from hearing your own inner wisdom. And then use your tools to let go so that you can have clear seeing. Look for the events in your life that turn out in your favor, especially the ones that you don't think you've done anything to make happen that way. Look at your surroundings in detail as you go about your day without efforting so that what you see relates in some way to what you've set as your goal or your direction. And then, of course, remember that messages can appear in the most unlikely or bizarre way. Maybe you hear the lyrics of a song or someone making a passing comment or you read a headline, and it gives you exactly what you need to know. You're going to find yourself paying attention to those times when things just fall into place. The right people, the right opportunities, they come into your life right at the time you need them in just the perfect way. And experiment with replacing the language of luck or good fortune with the idea that life is really affirming or validating the direction that you're going in. And then, of course, notice if you're trying to push the river and whether you might be willing to allow it to move in its own way so that you can relax and you can see yourself as part of what's happening around you. I would imagine that as you listen to these descriptions of flow and synchronicity, you have recognized periods or events in your life when you were in flow. So I would recommend you write them down in your journal, not only to acknowledge them, but to set the stage for a heightened awareness of how flow is now waiting to be recognized in your life. And even though I've been breaking down each of these components sequentially, the process of being in flow happens instantaneously. It happens simultaneously. And once you know what you want, all the steps that you've taken to become more aware on all levels of your being, you're going to start experiencing a whole body perception where information is coming in simultaneously through that combined felt sense that includes your body, all the cells and the molecules, the atoms, your brain, and even your energy field. In the beginning of this recording, I mentioned that much of what you've learned in the earlier modules has prepared you and maybe even already given you experiences of being in the flow. If you were already familiar with what it's like to be in the flow before the Inspired Life formula, and you want to make it a consistent part of your life, then the exercises that follow are going to give you ways to fine-tune what you're perceiving and how you perceive it. Since our goal is to bring increasing consciousness to our perceptual abilities, in the exercises that follow, you're going to learn the way your body is most familiar processing information, as well as what part of the brain usually processes it. So there's an assessment to learn your dominant learning style. That's all about which one of your senses you rely on the most. And a brain hemisphere assessment that reveals whether you're predominantly right or left-brained. And once you know these things, you can then learn how to balance both sides of the brain so that the two sides function as a single harmonious unit, and your perceptions reveal greater and greater meaning.